Welcome to Mind the Gap, the podcast that bridges the skills divide with insightful conversations featuring industry leaders, experts, and change makers. I'm Jules, part of the Scoop Climate team. Join us as we explore strategies, ideas, and initiatives reshaping industries across utilities, technology, business, education, and more. We'll uncover experiences that drive inclusivity and skills development, discussing topics like workforce development, mentorship, and the power of diverse perspectives. Whether you're a student, professional, or organisation committed to growth, Mind the Gap is your resource for navigating today's challenges. So let's bridge the gap and unlock limitless potential. Stay tuned for more empowering conversations with trailblazers shaping a brighter future. On the podcast today, we're thrilled to introduce Steve Fraser, the Chief Executive of Cadent. In his role, Steve holds the formidable responsibility of serving a staggering 11 million customers across five gas distribution networks. Beyond just ensuring their safe operation, he oversees the National Gas Emergency Number on behalf of all distribution networks, underlining his commitment to safety and service excellence. Steve brings over two decades of experience in managing and transforming infrastructure businesses, including his tenure as Chief Operating Officer and Main Board Director of FTSE 100 water company United Utilities. With qualifications in management studies, engineering management, and an advanced management diploma from Harvard University, Steve's academic prowess is matched by his practical experience. His journey began with hands-on training in utilities operations covering water, electricity, and high-pressure gas pipelines. Join us as we explore Steve's insights into the skills divide and ensuring the reliable operation of critical infrastructure in the utilities industry. Thank you so much for joining us. It's lovely to have you on the podcast. We're going to go through a few questions, but if we could start off by talking a little bit about your career and how you came to be working in the utilities industry.
It's funny, actually, because I was talking about this earlier. I've been in utilities since I was at college. I worked part-time in a company in the Northwest. And basically, when I finished my degree, I got a job there as a site agent training. And then basically worked my way up a couple of moves, project manager, contract manager, and then ops director at a company called Bethel Group, who gave me my big chance, really. And then UU were a client of ours. They offered me a job. I worked my way up through ops director, MD, then chief operating officer latterly, and on the main board. And I'd been at UU a while, and I felt, though they probably felt I was going stale, I felt I was going stale, but I dare say they did as well. And it just when I started to not have the zest to get out of bed at 6 o'clock every morning, then I got a phone call about the Cadent job and they offered me the job there. So I've been here for, been at Cadent 4 years now and worked with some brilliant people, some extremely talented people. And, you know, I couldn't have picked a better career, really. I love it. I still get out of bed the way I did 25 years ago and, you know, long may it continue.
Amazing. And just because we're talking about like skills gap and trying to get people into the industry, it sounds like you did have quite a linear path there.
People often ask how did you sort of end up doing what you're doing, and the biggest thing's luck. Out of the 10 big decisions I've probably had to make in my career, I probably get 8 of them right. You know, if you don't have that luck and you get 5 of them right, you're not going to be a chief exec. You know, there is a lot of luck in it, but I always come back to whatever you're doing, whoever you are, whatever your background, if you come to work every morning and do the basics right and work hard and don't go home till you've completed everything you need to complete and you can look yourself in the mirror every night, you know, you're going to have a good chance at success. You know, there's a lot of things you can do well if you're not particularly talented. I'm lucky I surround myself with people that are much more talented than me, but I've always had a work ethic installed in me by my parents.
And what motivates you to work the way you do? Obviously, CEO of a big prominent company, what keeps you motivated day to day?
That's actually such a good question, because it's reflecting, when you go through periods of reflection in yourself and your career, what motivates me now is much different to what motivated me when I was a site agent training. Then I needed money, I needed to buy a house for my family, I'm lucky all that's changed now. But as you go through stages in your career, your motivation changes. Mine is about making Cadent the best utility business in the UK. We're far from that, but crikey, we're a lot better than we were 4 years ago, you know, and that's what drives me every morning. And I think you have a responsibility to the staff. Want if you ever aren't getting out of bed with that drive, then when you're a chief exec, it's time to move on to do something else. And you need to be responsible enough to make those decisions yourself, because you've got 6,500, 7,000 people's livelihoods in your hand, and the owners that have backed the company to the hilt. So look, it's a brilliant company, and I love the people I work with, and you know, long may it continue.
And with that responsibility on your shoulders, do you find that you're able to have a work-life balance? Do you have hobbies outside the office, or is it all consuming for you?
Work's always been a hobby for me, but I think I'm much more effective. I'm sure the people that work for me will disagree with this, but I feel I'm much more effective now than I was 20 years ago when I didn't have a work-life balance. Worked particularly in one period in my career, which unfortunately coincided with me having very young children at the time. I was getting on a plane on a Monday morning and getting off one on a Friday night, and sometimes not even home for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And that's not a good way to live your life. And you become so consumed by work that you lose balance. And more importantly, you start making bad decisions in work, because if people don't get rest, they will make mistakes and they will make bad decisions. And bad decisions cost money. And in the gas business, they cost people their lives. So, you know, it's very important that particularly our engineers and our industrial staff are properly rested and take their holidays and have good downtime at the weekends and out of work.
And you've been in utilities for a long time. What do you find most rewarding about it?
There's every day something different. You know, Cadent probably digs between us. You know, we have 6,500 staff. We probably have 6,000 full-time contractors out there putting pipe in the ground for us, doing various jobs. Every single time you put a spade in the ground, it's a different challenge. Every time we're doing things in the office, ANSTI, the call centres, the engineering staff who are extremely skilled in terms of our control room, every challenge they deal with and therefore I deal with on a daily basis is different. Some mornings I can get out of bed thinking, in fact, mostly when I've got a nice clear diary and I think I'm going to get caught up with emails, something will happen and, you know, it's all hands to the pump, and you just want to leave the business every night better than when you arrived in the morning. And if people do that in this game, they'll be successful.
So something that we talk about a lot is the skills gap in utilities, and it'd be interesting to know if you could kind of give us your thoughts on that and the key challenges that you are facing at Cadent when it comes to that skills gap.
There is still a huge skills gap, but there's also, it's very easy to be critical, there is also a huge amount going on now and has been for a couple of years to rectify that. But we're dealing with damage that was done a decade ago when the apprentice schemes were stopped, we weren't developing graduates, you know, all that stuff. People were approaching things in far too short term a manner, particularly in Cadent, but elsewhere as well, if people are honest. So it is a numbers game in terms of people, particularly when you look at ED and I. We've got a big challenge. We are a gas engineering company, and gas engineers are predominantly middle-aged white males. We are trying hard to make ourselves a better company and have a better skill sets and better culture by bringing people in that are much more representative of the communities we serve. But some roles that we do aren't attractive. People want to work for companies like Google, Amazon, sexy businesses. We aren't a sexy business, but we're a good business that can give you a long, long, long career. And that's attractive to a lot of people. So we are trying hard to seed the business at all levels, apprentices, grad schemes, bringing people out of college at A levels and training them up and having sort of working degrees, mature apprenticeships, all those things. But getting into the communities we work within and trying to get people interested in coming to work for us. And that's something I think we're doing a good job at. We've had a lot of improvements in the last 12 to 18 months particularly, but there's a huge way to go.
Is there any initiatives that you are championing in particular that you'd like to share?
So we're doing a number of things in Cadent that me and the senior management team are involved in, but what we're trying to do is do something for everybody, if that makes sense. So we've got the women in Cadent group, we've got the military, we do a lot of stuff with ex-military who are fantastic employees, and we do a lot of stuff to support people that have come out of the military. So we've got 6, 7, I think it might even be up to 8 groups now that we encourage and ask to be chaired by not necessarily somebody senior, some of them are very senior people, but actually the people that are most appropriate, of the best skill set, and are most engaged in certain topic areas. So we're trying to do things internally to allow people to develop thoughts and a culture, but also going into schools. The one I really like is the one where we take 18-year-olds who have maybe done a couple of years at college. They don't want to go to uni because they're not necessarily academic, but they're intelligent, clever people. And academia is a different thing to that for me. We need academia, clearly, but there's traditional paths for them. Bringing those people into the business and training them in the Cadent way, the Cadent culture, and if they want to go on then and do degrees, they can. But some people, that pathway, for family reasons, isn't open to them. They maybe not want to. They maybe need to earn some money for reasons that are out with, you know, in the personal lives. It harnesses so much loyalty because people feel you're giving them a chance and training and developing them. So that's the one thing that I think we do. Well, we do a lot well, but that one thing is so powerful, and we've got so many good senior leaders now that have come through that pathway.
Yeah, and it's been quite interesting actually recording the podcast, because the different people we've spoken to, very few of them have actually gone linear in their path. It's been kind of like, oh, I sort of fell into utilities and I've gone here, there and everywhere, and then have progressed from there. Do you think that's going to be what helps you to retain the skilled individuals that you've got, sort of showing them those paths? And
I think the world is changing. The way people are retained in businesses is changing. You know, in utilities, it always used to be about the package, the final salary, pensions, all of those types of things. And we've seen over the last 15, 20 years, that's all disappearing. That gives you a different challenge. It's also an opportunity. The churn levels in any utility business 15 years ago were unhealthily low, because you need new people to bring new thoughts and new feelings and new culture and to stimulate change. And I think by doing the things we've talked about, you will naturally have more chance of retaining people because they feel you're investing in them. If people feel you can give them interesting things to do, if people feel there's a chance of development, promotion, you know, career migration, that will help you retain them. But I think it's a constant battle. I mean, it's very hard to get good people at the moment, and we can't just keep driving the rates up and up and up, because, you know, we have a responsibility to keep customers' bills as low as we can. So it's about making the company interesting. You know, we've got a bit of an advantage. We've just opened a new head office. We're opening some new regional offices. We're trying to make those offices as attractive as we can. We're trying to do different things, like pay for people's gym memberships, give them a better work-life balance. We're doing a huge amount on retaining. We analysed that we had a huge issue, and I dare say most companies do, on females not coming back to work after they've had children. So we've put in, like, one of them huge changes, to answer your question from earlier about things I'm proud of. We've done a huge amount. We've moved towards class leading paternity provision, childcare provision. Listen, I won't lie about it. There's a commercial reason to it, as well as doing good, because we retain brilliant females in the business, that it may be the thing that keeps them, as opposed to them thinking, no, I don't want to come back. So, you know, it's all that stuff. The more you can do is great.
I imagine as the CEO, you've obviously got to do a fair bit of future thinking. What do you think the utilities industry is going to look like in the future?
I think the utilities industry is going to be really vibrant, genuinely, long after I'm gone, pushing up daisies, whatever you call it. You know, I remember having a conversation with my father when I was 15 or 16, what do you want to do? When I said I wanted to go into utilities, he flipped his lid. He's like, no, there'll be no work in 10 years. But I was, you know, I was reflecting on this earlier in the week. There's 30, 40, 50 years work, and the investments that are going into utilities are going through the roof. One of the reasons is people expect a high level of service, whether that's in the water sector at the moment, you know, sewage discharges, water quality, gas, about service provision, electricity, there's a challenge in connections. There's challenges everywhere that are going to create huge investment. And you can see, you know, the water programs in the next 5 years are going to be double, treble what they've been ever before. They're huge. There isn't the people to deliver that stuff. But I think on the day-to-day perspective, the challenge is going to be much more about, you know, people aren't going to wait 2 or 3 weeks for a connection. People are used to service they get on Amazon, you know, order something from China and it's in your doorstep 24 hours, 12 hours later. So we need to get ahead of the game. We need to catch up and we need to drive through that service provision. The biggest fault we have in utilities is we compare ourselves to each other. We need to stop doing it. We're all not that great. Now, we're a lot better than we were, but we need to embrace technology to make us better companies, make us better places to work, but more importantly, give good service provision to our customers and live up to our customers' expectations. You know, we're in a world of immediacy now. We're in a world where, now this isn't always a great thing, but where people expect and demand things immediately. You know, some of our policies and procedures across the sector, and I'm talking about infrastructure generally, are just so dated that we need to keep pushing the boundaries, you know, and we need to make the companies better for their customers and employees.
Yeah, and I suppose that's going to attract people into the industry as well, isn't it? Because you don't want to go and work for a company that's been left behind.
Look, if we've had to spend a huge amount of money since our owners bought the company 4 years ago on IT just to get us to a position of stability. But if you spent a day with one of our engineers on the doorstep, it's horrendous what they have to do on their phone. They've got 3 or 4 or 5 apps they need to click on. There's a lack of connectivity. It's just a crap experience for them. So our big challenge for the next 2 years now were IT and tech is making that experience better. In fact, before I came here, I was in a meeting about it with our chief operating officer, looking at the best things people like Amazon and Google and all those companies do. What we do is actually really simple, and it's overcomplicated by engineers and people like me. We need to keep it simple and let it be tech-led.
Okay, so finally, we're finishing with the same question for all of our guests. What advice would you give your younger self if you were starting out in the utilities industry now?
Well, that's probably the most difficult question I've ever been asked in an interview. I would say don't rush it. Don't put yourself under too much pressure. The one time in my career I put myself under pressure to make a promotion or move role, it was a disaster and it didn't work for me. And that's the one time a job didn't come to me. I have this discussion with my kids. If you come to work every day, work hard, do a good job, don't make mistakes. In this industry, things will come to you. Put yourself in the right positions, push yourself where appropriate, but almost don't stress about it. Be comfortable in your own skin. You know, there's a lot of luck involved in getting to the very, very top, but hard work and dedication will get you a long way there, and you know, enjoy it along the way. One of my favorite golfers of all time, Lee Trevino, had this saying, I'm sure my age now. Remember to smell the roses along on the fairway of life. Remember to smell the roses along the way. And you know, when I look back, I have had some fantastic experiences given to me by great companies I've worked for all over the world, and utilities has brought that to me. So if I was giving advice to kids now, I'd say it's a great industry. You literally can, if you get the right experience. What we do in this country is the same in virtually every country in the world. And this will give you a career path that you can go anywhere you want and do anything you want. And the skill sets in this industry are so transferable. You know, it's a brilliant industry to work in. All my family have worked in it. And, you know, I certainly would advise anybody to give it a go.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Mind the Gap. We hope you've gained valuable insights and inspiration from our conversation today. If you want to stay connected and continue bridging the skills divide, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your favourite platform so you don't miss out on our upcoming episodes, where we'll bring you even more thought-provoking discussions with trailblazers who are shaping a brighter future. Remember, whether you're a student, a professional, or an organisation committed to inclusivity and growth, Mind the Gap is here to guide you on your journey. So, until next time, keep your curiosity alive, keep learning, and keep bridging those gaps. Together, we can unlock the limitless potential within each and every one of us. Thank you for listening to Mind the Gap. See you in the next episode.